Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. As probably most of you know, there is a National Day of Prayer on May the 3rd. And though you may not be rallying at a flagpole or you may not be gathering with a group of people, I would still encourage you on May the 3rd, on Thursday, to take some time to pray for our country. May I say this, our country will not be saved through its government. And though we have one of the best governments in the world, it is not going to be saved because of a Republican being our president. The nation is going to be saved when God's people get back to God's house and live godly lives. Unfortunately, we have drifted from the Lord. Entertainment has taken place, its place, even within churches. And so may I ask you to remember to pray for our country on the National Day of Prayer. Most of you have heard of the HGTV program, Fixer Uppers. Chip and Joe or Joanna or JoJo Gaines, they're out of Waco, Texas. And yes, he is a little goofy. But they take houses and they refurbish them. I was watching one not too long ago when we had gone down to see our granddaughter in Cedarville, Ohio. And they had taken the bedrooms and made it the kitchen and taken the kitchen and made it the bedrooms. And they had totally changed it around. But every house or building must be updated and repairs made when needed. In today's bulletin, you see that there are some things that we are talking about doing. And it just is part of life that things as they grow older need to be taken care of, and sometimes major things have to be done. And the same with our physical house, this body in which we live. We must take care of it. I was telling someone the other day that if I had known that twisting my ankle 685 times in my life would lead to the issues that I have today, I wouldn't have played sports. But I played sports, and now I have to live with it. And thank you for your prayers. You see, I'm not wearing the boot, and I don't know if it's because of the supplements that Lewis gave me or if it's just your prayers or time, but I am doing much better. Thank you very much. And I hope the best. But how about your spiritual house? See, we are going to leave these physical houses. When you go to a funeral and you go up to see the one in the casket, all you see is the physical house, but the spiritual house, well, that has gone. Don't pray for the one that's in the coffin. The decision has already been made. Eternity is long, so don't get it wrong. You better make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. He only will provide a way of salvation. But is your spiritual house in good repair? Is your spiritual house usable for the cause of Christ? The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." If you've ever been at a pasture where sheep are, that they are all scattered. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then the psalmist wrote in Psalm 85 verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" What we need in our lives is revival. If you would, let us stand together. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 5. Familiar words of David and his great sin with Bathsheba. And verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.'" Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now as we ponder some thoughts about fixing up what maybe has deteriorated, Lord, may our walk be right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Unlike the average campaign release or press report, the Bible always tells the truth about people. It should encourage us to know that even the best men and women in the biblical record had their faults and failures. But the Lord in His sovereign grace was and is able to use them and us to accomplish His purposes. In this passage of Scripture, we see David, the man after God's own heart, who committed adultery and then murdered a man in a last-ditched effort to cover his own sin. For 9 months, David refused to confess his sins. But then God sent Nathan, the minister of God, to confront him. Question: how would you like it if I showed up at your front door and declared your sin? That is what the Lord had Nathan do. And may I say this, that David paid dearly for his sins. Charles Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher in England, wrote, "God does not allow his children to sin successfully." Unquote. Doesn't that sound like something you just heard from Dr. Fleming about Samson? God does not allow his children to sin successfully. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Alas, David suffered the consequences of his sins for the rest of his life. And so shall we if we rebel against him. For the Lord chastens those he loves and seeks to make them obedient." Unquote. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." David should have thought, what will happen if I continue in the thoughts of having a relationship with this woman? In the book of Proverbs, we find these words: "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Sin is sin. Yes, but we know that some sins are greater, with greater consequences. Sexual sins, often listed first in the sins of the flesh, and murder are the two great sins committed against mankind. David would do both of them. He would commit adultery, and Lawrence Richard says rape. He would then commit murder against Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. Let us note the progress of this. David, as king, should have been at war. When you're at the wrong place, don't be surprised if the wrong things happen. Second, Bathsheba was bathing after David was in bed. The Bible tells us that he got up off his bed. Now, was she simply taking a rag and just reaching under her garments and washing? We do not know. But she was there. And number three, Bathsheba was in her own courtyard and could only be seen from the palace roof. If, like some authors believe, that Bathsheba set about to seduce King David, the fault still lies with David. He knew the Ten Commandments, and he knew he should not have done what he did. Fourth, David took the initiative to find out who she was. Fifth, David sent for her knowing that she was the what of one of his soldiers? The wife of one of his soldiers. Richard writes, as a woman alone, she had no way to reject the demands of a king who in ancient Near East had the power of life and death. In essence, Bathsheba was forced to come to David's bed in what was essentially rape. May we note that no man or woman is above sin. We are all by nature sinful, and we must, with the Lord's strength, fight against temptation. Don't ever think, well, that would never happen to me. Right. Let's hope it would never happen to you. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Do you note that the only words of Bathsheba in this episode that is recorded for us are, "I am with child." And they are the only thing David did not want to hear. Being the tactician that he was, David immediately devised a plan to cover up his sin. He thought to himself, well, Uriah has been at battle for X number of days, weeks, months, whatever, and I'm going to bring him home. And when he's home, he'll visit his wife and everything will be okay. Well, we know that backfired. We know that Uriah said, I can't go home to my wife when my fellow soldiers are out in the field sleeping in tents or in battles. And he didn't go home. And then if you remember, David says, all right, if you won't go home, you're going to carry back to the captain your demise. And the sentence or the paper said, put Uriah at the fiercest part of the battle and then pull away from him. In other words, let him die. Let him die. Uriah had come home and he had refused to go to his wife. One author has said maybe he had heard rumors that Bathsheba had been visiting the palace. You know, servants within a palace, well, they are what? Notorious gossips. And so maybe that's why he did not go to her. Chapter 12, if you would, please. Beginning at verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to rest for the wayfaring man, or excuse me, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. It's not a job I would particularly want to perform. I think I'd send Stephen. But Nathan gave a story that David found especially offensive. A rich man takes from a poor man. And David's response, as the man liveth, or excuse me, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. According to the law, David should have what? Died. Immorality was not to be tolerated. The guilty parties would be put to death. They would be stoned. You know, the rebellious child was to be stoned because the fact that rebellion wreaks rebellion. The adulterer, the adulteress, be they heterosexual or homosexual, those that had sex with animals, if they did these things, they were to die. David was immoral. He had a number of wives already. But that's not what happened. Let's begin reading at verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hath slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Is God angry? God's angry. Aren't you glad we live in a time of grace? You think God ever gets angry with us? I know he does. Has he brought punishment against us? I'm sure he has. Has he kept his blessings from us? I'm sure he has on many occasions, because we have denied the commandments of the Lord. Let's see what verse 13 says. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. May I say this, before you can fix something and make it better, you must admit there is a problem that needs to be addressed. Now, some of us may hire someone to come in and do a project at our house. Or maybe we are brave enough to tackle it ourselves. Yeah, if you see the commercials for Home Depot or Lowe's, you can do anything. Be careful. Now, the simplest thing you can do is paint. Everybody can paint, right? I see some people saying no. I remember I was painting in our house, and I wanted a wall that was purple. Now, not purple, 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 but a deep purple. A deep purple, right? Kathy, you would have liked it. You really would have. You would have said, that is really neat. It lasted about 3 months. About 3 months, wasn't it? You don't think it was that long? Well, you know, sometimes you can cover up your choices. But sometimes you get the wrong person doing the repair. It can cost you an awful lot, right? It can be very hard to repair. There are times in our spiritual walk we need areas repaired. And if we follow the advice of the humanism of today, it will leave lasting problems. See, the humanism taught today is against the Bible. It's against the Bible. May I say this? The Bible tells us that we are to punish our children. We're to punish them. Now, humanism today has different thoughts. Be careful to whom you are listening. The humanist today says that, well, we're all just humans and we're all just trying to get by and there are no absolute rights and wrongs. Are there absolute rights and wrongs? There are. There are things that are absolutely wrong no matter how we try to paint them. They are still wrong. May I say this? If we realize there's a need that needs to be taken care of, we need to do it biblically. We need to do it properly. Let's read verse 14. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The sad part is that when a child of God sins and brings disgrace and shame to the cause of Christ, it may never be repaired. Church nearby, the pastor got involved with one of the teenage boys of the church. That's sad, isn't it? The pastor's in jail today, as well he should be. Amen. But what happened to the church? You say, well, what happened to it, Pastor Paul? It's no longer a Baptist church. They closed the doors and moved on. You say, well, that's not fair. Some damages are never repaired. David brought other people into his sin. The people that went and found out who this woman was, the people that knew that David had spent the night with her. Nathan, your sin, my sin, our sin is something that will cause issues all along the line. We must be careful. You think Pastor Paul can sin? Shh, you don't have to tell. Yes. When I say you need to pray for me, you know why? Because I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner? Are you saved by grace? See, there are those who are saved who will die tomorrow and go to heaven. But on the other hand, there are those who are not saved and they'll die tomorrow and they'll go to hell. And they won't go to hell because they weren't religious. Or they didn't go to church, or they were bad people. No, they were good people. But they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The first thing you need to fix in your spiritual house is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you can start the repair on your spiritual house is with the contractor who's going to take care of that repair. And who is the divine contractor? Jesus Christ. Do you have a right relationship with him? Shall we stand together? 395 is our song of invitation. There's a great day coming. Are you prepared for that great day? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? I certainly hope so. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be talking about fixing up our spiritual house. Maybe you need to begin today by coming to Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, you would bless this invitation time. May the Spirit move. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.